The science of neon hasn't changed in over a century. What charged the gas to life as a 1900s advertising medium still burns it brightly today. For KUNR's detailed series on neon, Holly Hutchings traveled to our counterpart in the South and spoke to a physicist about what he calls lightning in a bottle.
On East 4th Street in Las Vegas, throwback signs like a glittering red slipper and a huge blue martini glass adorn the medians. I'm here to talk about how these signs work with Ben McGee, a recognized expert of neon.
Oh, I think neon's awesome. I mean, I'm old enough to have early memories of Fremont Street before they covered it. You know, the classic Rat Pack Fremont Street, it's just, you're bathed in neon light. And it's just, and incandescent light bulbs, which are also going out. And so it's this classic warm sense of being flooded with a very different kind of light than what we tend to see now. We're replacing everything with LEDs, and it's a much cooler, crisper sort of light. And it's got its own identity. But for me, yeah, neon screams pure, original Vegas.
He's previously shared his geek expertise on the small screen, appearing on a myriad of shows for the Science Channel, History Channel, and more. He knows his neon, and I'm about to get schooled on it on his home turf, downtown Las Vegas.
So the artificial version of a lightning bolt, we actually have started to call neon signs, neon tubes. And the idea there is if you trap a gas inside this glass tube and you dump a bunch of electricity into it, eventually there's a point where that gas can't hold on anymore, and that gas will basically like give up, and it can't hang on and it'll flash. That's literally the glow of a neon sign.
Creating a neon sign has less manufacturing impact than most modern lighting, which requires toxic metals, huge facilities, and tons of circuit boards. But of course, there are some drawbacks. He says neon signs are legendarily inefficient from an energy perspective because they're dumping tons of electricity into the air.
No, there's a major, major energy penalty for running something like a neon sign. And there's also a heat penalty. You know, they also get hot. And, you know, they can break in different ways, and they're pressurized gas. And
so you could laundry list the negatives when it comes to energy efficiency, but McGee says that's not the only way to think about neon. He gives the example of listening to music. It's obviously more efficient to just throw on headphones and press play.
However, I think everyone would agree that it's way more engaging and visceral to listen to live music, a live band, a live orchestra. But it's really inefficient, right? You got to pay the band, you got to have a venue, you got to have the space, you know. And so, sure, is neon more inefficient than LED? Yeah. But it also captures something visceral. You're generating this light in a way that's literally like lightning in a bottle, and there's something that draws us to it for that reason.
We wrap up our chat with the backdrop of the glitzy Fremont Street experience behind. In this area, every building is bursting with bright lights, from the Walgreens to the Golden Nugget. Downtown is crafted to keep this iconic look going today. The city of Las Vegas has gone so far as to require standards so that new signage continues the neon tradition and remaining signage is preserved. As a destination nationally recognized for its vintage cool factor, they want to ensure that aesthetic continues. Holly Hutchings, KUNR News.